selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. You know, okay, it's actually just so funny because what I love about Shopify is no matter how huge and massive you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control. Yes, daddy. And take your business to the next level because we're business women. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bookclub. That's shopify.com/bookclub, all lowercase. Shopify.com/bookclub.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Celebrity Book Club. Who's that knocking at the door? It's all your friends, you filthy whore. Your husband's gone and we've got books and a bottle of wine to kill.
It's Hollywood.
It's books.
It's gossip.
I'm shook.
It's memoirs.
It's martinis.
It's Studio 54.
It's Celebrity Book Club. Come read it while it's hot. Celebrity Book Club. Tell your secrets, we won't talk.
Celebrity Book Club.
No boys are allowed.
Celebrity Book Club.
Club.
Buzz me in, I brought the Cuervo.
Hola, best friend.
Hola, best friend. So good to once again see you and hear you remotely. Our new method of recording episodes of our favorite podcast, our own
Celebrity Book Club with Lily and
Stephen.
You know it, Stephen.
It's actually with Stephen and Lily. I don't know if you knew that.
I did know that with Stephen and Lily. Stephen first.
And it's not so much because I don't think I get top billing because I'm the more famous one. I think it's just in a graphic design sense, the ampersand fits on the same line as Lily. So when you have it, Stephen above Lily like that, like then it just,
no, it's better because you don't want
tighter.
The long name last.
Right. Then it's
totally.
Like, it would just look weird. It would just look weird. So
it totally, and it's again, I do not, there's no tension here over at HQ.
No, the lack of tension, you could not cut it with a knife because there isn't any.
There isn't any. It's chill AF over here in our remote land.
Super chill. Well, I'm so excited to talk about this week's
I have never been, you've heard me say this, but I've actually never been more excited to talk about this book.
Yeah.
I read it as a child, actually.
My father used to read this book to me when I would be sobbing myself to sleep, just crying my little eyes out into my Star Wars sheets. And he would be rubbing my lower back in slow circles going, "Oh, Stephen, do you want me to read you Ricky Martin's book again?" And I'd say, "Yes, Daddy." You go, "Okay, let's do it." And then he'd get out this big, this book was so battered and scratched. It had rips in it. And
it had been passed down through generations.
Actually, my great-grandmother, who our listeners will know, grew up in a sod house in North Dakota.
It was the only book they could afford.
it was the only book they sold. And, you know, they had to drive in a covered wagon almost 6 hours to get to the nearest town. And the way
to get to the nearest Barnes and Noble.
Barnes and Noble. in Bismarck, North Dakota. And that's when she picked up her copy of Santiago the Dreamer in Land Among the Stars. Yeah, back in 1882. And she, too, would seek comfort in its pages. It would lull her to sleep on cold,
on those cold, windy nights. Well, and dusty nights, too, I imagine.
It was a combination of dust and wind that was brutal and some would say depressing. But yeah, so, I've had such a long relationship with this book, and I know you have as well. It is, again, it is by Ricky Martin. Just want people to...
The king of Latin pop.
Really wrap their heads around that.
A singer of the little known hit, Livin' La Vida Loca.
And another little known hit known as She Bangs.
You know, when Livin' La Vida Loca came out, you're like, he couldn't top it. He right. couldn't.
No. Then came She Bangs. Wait, which is the one with the hot wax getting dripped on him? Is that
must be She Bangs. Right. And it's like such a sultry candlelit. You see his hairless chest kind of noting
never
that
drinks
this is
the water makes you order French champagne.
Champagne.
That line's kind of insane.
No, wait, that is Livin' La Vida Loca.
That is, I
makes,
want to say,
take away your name like something to the brain.
Like ooh, a bullet to the to brain. Brain. She Bangs. Right? Isn't that She
no,
Bangs?
No, that is like, ooh. Livin' La Vida Loca.
Wait, now we're sort of, these songs are kind of sounding
she bangs
similar.
Is like, she bangs, she bangs.
No, I mean, I get that it's She Bangs, but it's what before comes the bangs that were the, kind of.
Makes you drink French champagne is definitely sorry, just dropped my phone for the 9,000th time.
Wow, working from home is crazy.
WFH, anyone?
When will 2020 end? Okay.
My cat started a podcast.
Yeah, and guess what? She's not wearing hard pants. Okay, so Ricky Martin, yes, he is a Latin pop star, and he was famously straight when he was being a pop star around the Y2K era. We were all led to believe that this was a straight man wearing tight little leather pants.
But we all thought he's hot. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a sex symbol.
He's totally a sex symbol. I mean, he's definitely kind of the guy that, like, I mean, he had a very cross-generational appeal in that way where, like, moms would be very like, and what a rump.
Yeah, it's total what a rump. Check out that butt. Wish my husband worked out.
Sharon Stone was definitely like, well, he's got a butt. You can't ignore that.
Pinch his butt. Because Livin' La Vida Loca, like, got to moms. There was hamsters that sang it, you know, the wind-up yeah. hamsters.
It was a moment when it was also just like, I mean, you know, English-speaking audiences, I mean, maybe especially American, I guess, have always enjoyed, like, saying a few Spanish words.
It let all the moms who are, like, margarita moms who say me and my chicas to be yeah. like
which, and that does include us
yeah.
Well, I just feel like every 4 years there's a song. It's like, what, there's that Shawn Mendes song that came out, the one that's like you know what I'm talking about? Is it Shawn Mendes or is it his girlfriend?
I think I know what you're talking about.
I feel it's hard to even think about it because old right now.
I know. We're like, what's the shot? I've had water, and this is okay. Now I'm also sounding so mom. I've had watermelon sugar high or whatever stuck in my head for an entire month. And it's like, watermelon sugar high.
Yeah. But I hate that song.
Anyway, we're ancient. We were in middle school and Livin' La Vida Loca came out.
Right. And like, you remember the Macarena? Do you remember that?
TBT, the Macarena, the only dance I can do.
No, you do your little punches on the dancer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that he was sort of riding one of those waves. And then he just like remained a global pop icon for decades, then came out, became a gay icon, became a humanitarian, became a human rights dinner attendee.
Let's not also forget, because he was in Menudo, which was an 80s Puerto Rican boy band.
Oh, I did forget that. So let us not forget that.
Yeah, it's kind of like he's the Mackie Mac, you know, or the Michael Jackson. So it's like then he got the solo career and had the huge single out after being like a 14-year-old.
So
like
he had already basically proved himself to the record.
He was a world. Oh, yeah. Like, he was like a superstar.
Okay, this guy has the chops. Like, he can dance. He can sing. He's the package. Like, let's turn him into a solo pop star.
And, you know, for a while, I feel like I was like, wait, is Ricky Martin like a one hit wonder? But then he had a baby alone by a surrogate. But was he wasn't out yet. And then soon after that, he came out.
How those two things turned out? You were like, for a while you thought he was a one-hit wonder, but then he came out. So now he has two songs, like Being Gay and his song.
He a little had a comeback with like Being Gay and like announcing he had children. I feel like he was on The Voice and just like...
No, I mean, he definitely has like... He's done that thing that like all celebrities have to do now where you just have to have this like relentless, insane career where you're constantly hosting like 8 different voice competition shows and like dance competition shows and like launching fragrances and just like... always being a global ambassador for health and awareness, and he's raising awareness constantly, even though he like has not obviously had a single since she bangs.
He probably has. That's been on like a world chart, and maybe we're so stuck in our fucking bubble.
Yeah, maybe he's charted in a world way for sure.
I think he has, and I'm calling myself in for just, I'm already pre-calling myself in for not knowing what he's charted at.
I could see that, because now I'm thinking like Que Asiste, which was a Jennifer Lopez track off her Spanish language album that came out like 5 years ago. Like, I don't think he even charted in the Billboard Top 100, but it was like number one on like the Latin world dance chart or whatever.
That was such a good track. Que Asiste.
Que Asiste.
Okay, that's
gonna be the only word, So Ricky Martin wrote a
Ricky
book
Martin.
That we are going to talk about.
We're and again, absolutely going to talk about it.
Called Santiago the Dreamer in Land Among the Stars. So this is a children's book. It is about a dad who comforts his son. So I guess we can maybe give you the full plot of the book, because it is only about... This clocks in at around 18 pages, maybe. It's not the heftiest of reads.
No, it again
like,
is
you're
a...
reading this to your kid to fall asleep. They would be like, okay, time for another one. It's like, this kid's not going to sleep.
Now, we love being honest with our listeners. I'll say I read this book via a video Steven sent me, because our producer, Mike, who we love dearly, is cheap as hell.
I can only spring for one copy.
But I also feel like there was only one copy like out there, maybe. Yeah.
That could get to us in time for our emergency Santiago reading. Yeah. Maybe, yeah, maybe that's true. So I did.
It's a CBC emergency.
I did just video myself turning the pages slowly and sent it to Lily so she could have the same experience of reading the book.
And yeah, I got a little of your commentary, which was pretty funny, which actually kind of breaks our usual rules.
I know, like not really talking about the book. But it was a conversation via video, so it wasn't really a full conversation.
But hilarious commentary.
Oh my God, thank you so much. And yeah, we'll definitely send that out. If you subscribe on Patreon, you can definitely get that video.
Our Patreon is not up yet, but...
That was more of a joke about if we had a Patreon, but
I'm also kind of
potentially seeding the potential that it will be potentially
happening. Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Plant those seeds.
Okay, so this book.
So this book is about a child named Santiago who dreams of being on the stage, darling.
The kid is obviously gay, was my takeaway from this book.
Same.
And the dad is also gay. I feel like the dad is sort of a thinly veiled fill-in for Ricky Martin.
Because the drawing looks exactly like Ricky Martin.
Yeah. It's like definitely getting Ricky Martin vibes from the dad.
Here's my first kind of criticism of the book, but maybe also like, why do we always have to have like straight parents? It's like he has a husband who is a Swiss painter
Swedish painter.
I don't know why he made it like a single dad and why he didn't do this.
Well, because
gay
if
couple.
It's so like Jimmy has two dads, if the book is about having gay, it's like there's so many like books about having gay dads, and there's like so many books about having gay moms, and there's like so many books about like having like IBS as a child, like illustrate like every
IBS awareness for 2-year-olds.
Yeah, like every possible experience like has a children's book to illustrate it and like walk your 2-year-old through the process of. So it's like this book is not about having gay dads. So I feel like that would just make it about too many things.
I have to shout out friend and listener of the pod, Lauren, who sent me a book that they were reading to their child baby, and it was like a queer
their child baby.
I'm like, who are children? Who I'm renaming Nameless, because I do not want Lauren's baby to be kidnapped by a rabid CBC fan.
Thank you. Yes. And the baby did actually not consent to you putting her name on this pod.
No. It was like, it was such a funky modern book that was like called like His Body, Their Body. And it was like a queer, fully like queer BBQ happening at Reese. It was like a children's book about Reese.
To like prepare your baby.
For Reese.
For Reese.
I mean, I wish, yeah, it's like we should have children's books preparing you for Reese.
No, I know. The first time you see like a chunky gay in a thong, like it can be really scarring if you haven't like seen an illustrated version first as a child.
So yeah, it's like, okay, I see what you mean. Also, probably he wants to get this book in a lot of markets.
I also, can I actually throw another suggestion? I mean, A, it's a marketing thing. I think you're 100% correct. B, another thing is like, think, because where my head went, where I'm kind of like, well, maybe him and his Syrian husband aren't going to stay together forever. And he's kind of hedging his bets a little. So he's like, hey, maybe in 10 years, if I look back and I see this children's book I wrote, like, maybe I don't want to like have like this husband figure in there, and like, because maybe I'll be single.
That makes so much sense. Just like someone's like, I loved Santiago the Dreamer, and he's just like, fuck that book.
Yeah. I mean, this is very me, how I like, when I have a boyfriend, I rarely post photos of my boyfriend to Instagram, because I'm just like, if you ever break up with a boyfriend, then it's sort of awkward if your Instagram is all photos of the boyfriend that you're no longer with.
Right. And then it's almost even more awkward when you like have to cleanse the feed, and then someone looks at it and is like, wow.
Yeah.
You really cleanse that one.
Exactly. So I think Ricky made a smart choice by not including a second father.
Genius, Ricky. You did it again.
So this book is about a kid who really wants the lead role in a school play, which I relate to. I didn't relate to not getting the part, because I did always get the part in high school, middle school.
Okay, I'm going to bring up something maybe kind of sensitive. I don't know if you remember this.
Is it my current career?
No, it was like in high school, and like I said, or kind of basically somehow some sort of phrasing said that your role in the high school play wasn't that big or compared to someone else. And you screamed.
I do kind of remember. That was like our last fight. Yeah, that was 16 years ago.
And it was right before you went to France.
My European trips are always just like, there's a lot of drama that surround the comings and goings.
You need to get out of Dodge. And I remember you arguing with me that you like, maybe yes, had like less lines, but like we're on stage longer.
Okay, that's so psycho. We just like, well, I actually have more screen time. And actually, they did a study of my screen time, and I actually have more stage time.
So people are seeing me more on stage.
Wow, so Jenna Maroney.
Full Maroney vibes. I mean, I'll say I always wanted more star power in school plays.
But you like didn't do school plays though, because when you went to your little high school, you were just like, actually, theater's for losers.
Exactly.
And you thought theater kids were such nerds.
They were, because it was like very culty. I mean, obviously theater kids are always like culty, but the person who ran the theater program also ran this group called Salsa to bring up Latin music. Students advocating life without substances.
Losers.
So yeah, that crew I wasn't really going to roll with. Not that I, of course, it took me like a month to like find any
weed. Because much like Abby
Wambach,
you were a hardcore addict.
I drank like 3 times in high school because I like never find alcohol. Like wanted to bad, just couldn't find it.
Running into a lot of locked cabinets.
But the thing about alto theater in high school is you have to sing, and I can never sing. So it was like, you can't just act. It's always
a
musical.
They didn't just have like straight up plays?
No, everything is always a musical. So I was like, it's not for me.
Mm. Well, first of all, you can sing. And I'm going to tell you that right now. And I will now play the role of the father figure in Santiago the Dreamer. And tell you that you're incredible and you can achieve whatever you want to achieve. But also the thing about musical is like, you don't actually have to. I mean, obviously, if you're Broadway, like those people have good voices, but like
they can, so they have to sing.
But you don't actually have to have like such a good voice. You just have to like project and be like acty singy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you mean.
You know,
and like put on a Chicago-y voice because
it's always being like, I can't believe what I saw. Like it's like you don't actually have to have a good voice to say that. You just have to be like be over the top about it.
It's so true. And, you know, it's what you think are your, you know, that you can't do. You really can.
You really, really can. And that's the message of this book.
Totally. And to your comment in the video where Santiago basically like he goes on an audition and then, I mean, sorry to spoil this picture, but parents, if, well, actually it's good to, the kids aren't listening. So
no, yeah, kids do not listen to this podcast. It's good for parents to know the plot.
What they're getting into.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, wait, what were you going to say?
That Santiago auditions for this play and his voice cracks.
He gets stage fright, basically. So he goes up and he sees the kid before him, like, do really well. So this was also a thing where it's like in auditions in high school, like you didn't have like, I don't know, you didn't see other people like auditioning. I also like, I don't think.
No, in my sixth grade musical, we all had to watch each other sing a song of our own choice and sing in front of your class. It's the most, why would you make 12-year-olds do that? It's like already the most humiliating time of your life.
If you're going to be in the play, then you're going to have to perform in front of people. So yeah, you should be able to handle the fucking audition.
Guess so. Anyway, I sang a Dean Martin song.
Wait, that's so funny because when I auditioned for Zoom as like an 8-year-old, do you remember that? Like
you auditioned for Zoom?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I sang my
way. I knew everything about you.
No, I sang New York, New York.
Fab.
Isn't that Carrie? So random? And I was 8, like auditioning for Zoom. Anyway, obviously didn't get the part.
Zoom was that thing that always like someone was like, oh, actually, like my sister's friend went to camp with someone who was on Zoom.
Who was on Zoom. And it's just like someone knew a Stacy or a Rachel, like who was on Zoom for like 4 years. And it's just like, and then that's weirdly her personality. And she becomes just like a whatever, like boring teacher later in life. And she just like is always kind of like referencing her Zoom experience. And it's kind of like, I don't know, it just seems sad.
Zoom alums, write in.
Zoom alums, write in. Maybe to tell us, prove to me you're not sad.
I'm obsessed with you singing New York. You as Miss Veronica Horst.
Like I remember being really nervous for the audition. And, you know, I used to go on a lot more auditions when I had an agent, which I do not have at this current juncture in my career. And
agents, HMU, hit us up.
Yeah, we are actually both on Rubbed, which is absolutely insane.
Psychotic.
We have a beloved podcast. And yeah, I would like get really nervous all the time. I mean, that's like a real job and you're in a real room and there's like the angriest Lauren is like across the table from you. And like she's no time for you and like thinks that you're awful and is talking shit about you the second you leave. So it's like that's terrifying. But like high school is honestly not that bad because it's just like a drama teacher who like is required by law to like love all the kids.
I mean, you had an epic drama teacher that I feel like is still just like you and my sister's like favorite person in the world.
I mean, that's true. Mark Lindbergh, shout out, like he did like change our lives. And it's very that like it's in a very gay way. It's just like we did have the iconic high school drama teacher.
So spoiler, Stephen went to the same high school that Mindy Kaling did. I feel like, did she do theater? Do you think she had Mark?
Oh my God. I guess I mean, she must have, right? Or was she, just like so random and not even doing theater? And because like she was just like, that's weird. I'm going to just like write.
And then only did improv at Dartmouth.
Yeah. I could kind of see her not doing theater. And like, I feel like maybe she was literally on school newspaper and she did.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right. That's not so, I feel like that's way more her.
Yeah. To be like, hey, can I get a quote for you?
Yeah.
From you?
For you.
For you. So back to this book.
I like, we're only kind of on like page 3 of the plot so far. Yeah, okay, so like, he auditions. He doesn't get the part. He's sad. And then this incredible father figure.
Whether asexual, straight, gay, we don't know.
We don't know.
I mean, it's also well-groomed. Awesome sauce where it's like, shout out for dad's rights. You know what I mean? It's always about moms or a bad dad or a dad who doesn't show up.
Well, I guess. But I do also think that in like fictional portrayals, there are so many like dad, like single dads. I mean, I'm just like remembering an article I read once in like the week, like 11 years ago, but it was very like,
I'm like, what are you talking about?
It was very like the actual percentage of like single parent households are like 90% single moms, but it was like, but TV single parent households are just like 60% dads.
Huh. Okay, the only single dad movie I can think of is Outside Providence, starring Alec Baldwin.
Okay, that's random.
and
but I feel like TV is so like that show with like John. It's like Eight Simple Rules for Dating My Daughter, and like that other like random show, and like the, there's always like a John Stamos show that's getting canceled after four episodes, and like
right, or that whatever that CBS show is with Matt LeBlanc, and it's so like I have to like take my daughter to something.
Yeah. I just feel like TV is a single dad.
They love a single dad, like messing up.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a really important accurate cultural analysis that I just launched into the zeitgeist. So this really hot dad is wearing like a pullover and he's telling his sad gay son to never give up. You can do anything you dream of as long as you do it with love. And no matter what you choose, always reach for the moon. So that's kind of like the insanely sage advice that this hot dad gives Santiago. And then Santiago falls asleep and he has this dream. So the book is actually surreal.
This is magical realism.
It's magical realism. I would put this book in that category. So he starts out this dream. He's like, he's in a classroom, but now he's the teacher. The tables have turned. And so he's in this position of power and everyone's looking at him and everyone's admiring him. Then he's on a plane.
Yeah, it's classic thing as a child where it's like, I mean, I feel like I would always have, right, like different sort of fantasies where you can be the star.
I never wanted to be a teacher.
I mean, same.
But honestly, people involved in pedagogical careers like that is huge.
Go
and like,
off.
Thank you. Like, literally, like you are saving the next
But
generation.
That's another thing where it's like everyone's looking at you.
For
what
sure.
Form it?
I mean,
the
pilot
dream
is not really such a I mean, you obviously are in a position of power in all pilots, I'm sure, like such just like toxic tops. But it's just like, I do feel like that's not such a like on stage moment, because these are all supposed to be metaphors for like everyone liking you, basically all these dreams.
I mean, everyone claps for a pilot.
Yeah, if you're on a plane full of losers. When people do that to me, that is so psycho.
It's like, it's their job. Why don't we start clapping for the MTA train drivers? How about that?
Every time they pull into a station.
Every single time. Yeah, okay. Thank you. We are not talking about that. You know,
that would be such a like boring viral video from like 2007 of just like two NYU girls like going on trains and just like telling drivers they did a good job. Can you see that?
Yeah, thank you. Thank
in
you.
That like Upworthy era.
My great grandfather drove the New York City trains.
What?
Yes.
What?
Some of those early subways. Can you believe
Shut
that?
The front door.
Francis Brancato.
Mind the gap, bitch.
My grandmother said he would come home with his shirt filled with silver coins. Silver coins.
Wait, like subway tokens? Or he
no,
was just
I
like,
think like he gets paid in coins. Maybe it was like unlimited tokens. They got free tokens.
Or he was being so couch cushions and he was just like picking up so much loose change off the floor of the train.
Nope.
Celebrity Book Club.
This episode is sponsored by ZocDoc.
You're trying to find a cause for your symptoms.
Achy back, headache, runny nose, itchy eye, wart on my genitals.
So let me guess, you stumble down a TikTok rabbit hole full of questionable advice from so-called experts.
Suddenly I have cancer? No thank you.
There are better ways to get the answers you want and the care you deserve from trusted professionals and not random people on the internet. Though randoms, I love you, and my TikTok addiction, yeah, it stands.
But I'm sorry, Lily, you shouldn't be getting medical advice from some girl in her grandmother's basement in Toronto.
ZocDoc helps you find expert doctors and medical professionals that specialize in the care you need and deliver the type of experience you want.
That's right. Ditch the talk, get the doc. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun.
No more Dr. Roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guide to connect you to your favorite doctor you haven't met yet.
I love a trusted guide, like the time I climbed to Machu Picchu on the Inca Trail with a team of Sherpas. Millions of people use ZocDoc's free app to find and book a doctor in their neighborhood who is patient-reviewed and fits their needs and schedule just right. So find your Sherpa at ZocDoc.com. Go to ZocDoc.com/bookclub and download the ZocDoc app for free.
Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Slay. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZOCDOC.com/bookclub. ZocDoc.com/bookclub.
Ditch the talk.
And then this is where Ricky Martin is doing the marketing. He's like, San Diego also dreamed of becoming a baseball player. And it's like, no, yeah. He didn't.
No, he didn't, babe. He certainly didn't. He's there. We're just doing all the, I mean, it's all of these basic, he dreams of being a doctor. He dreams of being an astronaut. It's like these just like really basic, like childhood dream careers. It's actually very fucking neoliberal. It's like, why are these all careers?
Right. Oh, he has to want to be a doctor.
They're all jobs. Oh, there have to be these like money making professions that have clout in society. It's like,
can't dream of just like living with awesome roommates.
Yeah. What about living with some rad humans in a house with a porch?
I mean, what was your first job dream?
Well, I always said I wanted to be a journalist as a child.
And then you did study journalism.
And then I studied journalism.
Why you?
And I never became such a gumshoe reporter, but you know, I do. Some would say I am a media gay. In fact, you have said that.
I have said that, absolutely. So you are a journalist.
Anyways, I am. And it's true. Yeah. No, I remember even at like age 5 or 6 or something, I was just like, mommy, what's the best school for journalism? And she was like, oh, the Columbia Journalism School is the best school for journalism. And then I was just like, I want to go to the Columbia School of Journalism. And then that dream sort of like,
talk faded. About neolib dreams of childhood.
I know. Well, you asked job.
No, I mean, I asked.
The thing about this book is he's having an actual like dream in a bed. Like he's having a night dream where I'm just like,
this dad's style is also very, like, bonobos.
It's also a little Everlane, the top, but I guess the Everlane is the same difference.
No, it could be an Everlane top for sure, the kind of, like, mustard tan crew neck sweatshirt.
Sorry, just to, and I do want to, we'll circle back to this, to the crew neck in a minute, but I wanted to just add an addendum onto my childhood dream. My other really big dream that was like a daydream that I would return to often and like really populate and like build out with details was that I owned an estate that was essentially the size of Rhode Island. And
Stop.
It was like this working niche.
Holiday house?
It was like actually like its own like autonomous zone. And like we had relationships with the U.S. government that was like basically like to understand that like I was my own nation state. And like I produced
Geneva.
It was very Geneva. There were vineyards. So like people, and our wine was known for being like really good in the wine industry. But like we also had a lot of other like light
Stop
heavy
it.
Industry.
Stop it. Wait, what age is this? Like, you had amazing vineyard on your state. Okay. You have to tell the story about the game you would play with your parents. The wine list game.
Oh, where I would just I would take the wine list when it came to the dinner table and I would read random bottles and I would make them guess the prices.
Age 5, classic. You were like, mommy, Chenin Blanc, Sonoma, 92.
And she'd go, oh, Doug, what do you think? I think 75. And they'll go, oh, no. You're way off. No. I'm thinking 90, 98, maybe 100. It was wild. I don't know. I got such a kick out of that. I love prices. You know I love prices.
You love prices. You love wine. You love wine lists.
And I love the idea of people buying things.
The drama of a wine list, too.
I mean, a wine list is such a dramatic piece of work.
Especially when, like, as a kid, you'd see it being brought over to your parents and you're looking at this crazy list and you're like, so,
what are we doing here? I mean, come on.
You're seeing Sonoma this, Blanc this, Sangiovese this.
Yeah, so that was my, what was your dream job?
Well, I mean, we've discussed obviously hotelier, but earlier on, first one was just construction worker, just like butch stuff. And then professional baseball player.
Right. You like did, because there you have some drawings that allude to that.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, no, no, no. I'm absolutely getting in the MLB. And then I was like, okay, maybe I'll own the first women's basketball team pre-WNBA.
That's so cool. That's so Abby Wambach. And
it was because I was like, well, you can't be professional
forever.
It's
actually so her good friend, Dan, the owner of the Magic's.
I am Dan Bordeslaw. Yeah, so
may he rest
it got
peace.
Kind of entrepreneurial. Then we got hotel. Then we got fashion designer. But I wanted to share a super dark, like, daydream fantasy I would have as a kid that I feel like was a thing.
I like calling a daydream a day fantasy.
Day fantasy. Y'all know when you have a day fantasy, your eyes are open.
Your eyes are wide the fuck open and you're just thinking.
I would have this, like, I mean, fantasy is extreme, but sure, let's call it that. That I would get stabbed. Live, of course. But, and everyone would be so worried about me and like visit me in the hospital and like, but also think I was so badass for getting stabbed.
Yeah. I bet you did. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's sort of like this like classic, like, you know,
look at me.
Victimology, you know, complex where it's just like you want the attention and you want the
the rep,
this sort of like the street cred element of it.
And I'm like, I'm sure I saw some TV show where it's like you're like a stabbing, it's like dangerous, but it's like you're definitely surviving, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I always have this fantasy of falling gravely ill and all my exes like coming to my side and being like, we were wrong.
That's like when Eat, Pray, Love. What the fuck is her name?
Oh, when Elizabeth
Gilbert. Our idol. Elizabeth Gilbert, when she was with her butch.
Elizabeth Gilbert.
Gilbert, sorry. Elizabeth Gilbert's R.I.P. butch lover was
Raya dying of
cancer. Elizabeth Gilbert and Raya's ex did like an interpretive dance like around her and posted that on Instagram.
Oh, right.
That's what you want.
Less the dance.
Just kind of all around. Are they coming in like, one by one?
Just like one by one, just being like, I still love you. And
I'm still absolutely in love with
and
you.
And I made a grave mistake.
I hope that happens for you.
I hope it happens for me too. Yes.
We're both at this hospital. I'm stabbed. You have a grave illness. We still have to record.
Wow, we're really finding a lot to talk about. Yeah, we haven't even gotten halfway through this book.
Okay. Let's do this. I have some borscht to eat.
Okay, so basically what happens is, yeah, he has this fake dream of being a baseball player. We know that's not real. So then he decides. So this is the part, the like little like plot hook that I just find very weird from Ricky Martin, where he's like, Santiago was excited about his dream and decided to practice as if he got the lead. So he just basically starts like rehearsing the lead's role. Like he's an understudy, but he wasn't.
He like volunteers being an understudy.
But he's like not the understudy. He was like, I'm just going to like, because my dad told me to like reach for the moon. And then I had this dream about being like a teacher and an airline pilot. I am going to pretend to be the understudy. And then,
I mean, why not? I feel like that's such actor's advice that like...
I agree with you on that one. It's actor's advice like, you know, be about the... Be, you know, soak up the play. Soak up every line. You know, clean the stage after everyone goes home. Like, you know, breathe the theater. Like, you know, like just hoover up everything you can about the craft. So I get that. But I feel like... It's not totally saying that. It's like, I feel like that's not the argument he's making. The argument is just being like, he just randomly decided to practice if he got the lead. But maybe it is that.
And then all of a sudden, of course, somehow, you know, the book kind of wraps up pretty quickly and is like, yeah. And then actually the person who was like the star randomly couldn't sing. So he's like, I know the part and he does it and he sings and he does well. And his gay dad is like, see, if you're enough of a gay bitch.
That you like won the play. And it's just yeah. like... well, that was convenient. And it's just like, so was it just the one performance? Was there not like a Saturday show? Was there a matinee?
Right. TBD, I guess, on the matinee of the school.
And then it's like, he's like, Daddy, like, you taught me the most important lesson, that sometimes when you reach for the moon, you can land among the stars.
Where it's like the subtext of this book is like so much more evil and gay, where it's like, I feel like this devilish gay child, he like poisoned the other kid in the class. And he's like, oh, randomly, the star of the play couldn't sing. I'll do it.
No, it's so that Isabelle Huppert movie, like the piano teacher, where she puts broken glass in the like pockets of the overcoat of this like girl she's trying to sabotage. And then she puts her hands in her pockets and she can like never play piano again. And her like hands are horribly cut up.
I need to watch that.
That movie is so insane. It's a classic psychosexual Isabelle Huppert. Like,
I know. Thriller. I can't believe I've never seen that movie. Throw it on the list.
Yeah, throw it on the list for your recovery.
Yeah, recovery flicks. Yeah, so wraps up, and then there's Ricky Martin and his Everlane / Bonobos.
It's very like, wow, the dad like gave this one pep talk. Honestly, it's kind of an unrealistic portrayal of how easy it is to be a dad, because it's not that easy.
Thank you. Parenthood is hard, okay?
Yeah.
It's really rewarding. If
I was just going to say that. It's so rewarding.
And on that note, let's move to segments. She eats. She lives. She wears. She bangs.
She
segments.
She segments. Okay. That was good enough. Yeah. What does she... Okay, so are we doing this about the dad in Santiago the Dreamer, or are we doing it about Ricky Martin?
Let's just do Ricky Martin.
Okay.
Let's do both, though. No, literally let's do about the dad in Santiago.
Let's do the dad and Santiago and Ricky Martin.
Another hour goes by.
Okay.
What does she wear?
Are you aware first? Okay, well, we've talked about the Everlane and the Bonobos. I mean, Ricky Martin's...
His style is sexier than his dad.
It's very sexy. He's always in like a sexy cream sweater that's like... It's a very like not Christian Girl autumn sweater. It's like a Miami
sweater. Like, yeah, it's like he has like D's in the sweaters he's wearing. Like it captures those
he's
pecs.
Pecky. Feeling peckish.
Oh, yeah, I'm feeling real peckish.
He's still rocking like very tight pants.
Tight pants.
Unless I'm so wrong, he's wearing like such like sexy kind of like loose carpenter stuff, because like now he has a painter boyfriend.
Well, don't you think sometimes he's wearing an incredibly tight shirt and just like army cargos in like a Fergie way while doing errands?
I wish, but I feel, because here's the thing, and this is going to lead into how does he live, but he is a full up design gay now. Like, he may have been a, like, cheesy Miami, like, crossover star in 2001, but, like, now he is a full-up, like, coastal design guy.
He owns his own island off of Brazil.
That's so insane.
So I also think Ricky Martin is, like, nude a lot on his island, in Speedos. Also
on the
in, like,
island, he's nude. But I feel like his L.A. house, and I'm going to admit having cheated, because I saw his AD video, like, not recently, like, years ago.
Okay.
But, like... It's an insane, like, such a concrete house with, like, so many cantilever doors. And it's just, like, and so many Japanese basins and just, like...
Kind of sounds like a mix of Ellen's houses.
It is such a mix of Ellen's houses. And it's, like, he's being, like, walking through the house with his painter boyfriend, just being, like, and this is, like, a Jean Gilbert. And this is a Prouvé. And this is, like, a Sterling Winson. And just, like, pointing out every, like, piece of, like, art. Design, furniture, painting, chandelier, like weird sculpture. So that's why I think he could be so kind of almost like nice straight leg jeans, boots, like Chelsea boots, maybe even Tim's, and like an expensive long sleeve.
Yes. Tim's?
And then maybe the boyfriend, I think, is kind of, I think they're very verse.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, with that butt.
With that, I mean.
That rump.
You gotta get into that rump if you're the husband. But Ricky Martin's also like such top because he's like, you know, he's so successful and he's such a businessman like he's such and a humanitarian.
And doesn't have maybe so much of the time to prep sometimes for bottoming.
Thank you for acknowledging the prep work that goes into bottoming,
I know,
Lily.
Gay guys. Yeah.
I really appreciate you raising awareness for that issue in our community.
Raise awareness for prep, not the pill.
Yeah, bottom no, prep. we got enough awareness of prep at this point. Do you agree with me? Or I feel like you're such of my, like, Tim.
I'm such of the Tims, but it's also, like, celebrity where they just wear one shoes and throw them out. So I'm like, sure, one day he's in a bomber and Tims and straight leg
right.
jeans. And, like, the next day he's in linen pants and shirtless. And the next day he's in a thong.
Right. And, like, all of those are, like, yes. going to be incinerated, like, a day later.
Yeah. It's like, okay. This big concrete incinerator.
Yeah. It's a Jean Prouvé incinerator.
Yeah. This just came to me. And what does he eat? I don't think he drinks red wine.
Oh, because you don't think he wants to, like, spill on all of his, like, fancy surfaces and his, like,
yeah.
sweaters?
Also very just, like, celeb. Like, he drinks, like, champagne and then, like, sometimes, like, just, like, the finest tequila in the world. And, like, that's it.
I 100% agree with you. Like, on the friggin' nose.
Hell yeah.
That makes so many. It's so celebrity. It's like, because it's like the Beyonce thing where it's like that story about that. I think, like, was that a Sydney Washington story or was that a completely different story?
Oh, the Sydney Washington. Well, yes. When they're at, like,
where Beyonce is just, like, sipping one drink so slowly over the course of, like, 3 hours at the club. Because, like, she yes. never gets drunk.
Those are so funny. And shout out to Sydney Washington's Instagram bottle girl stories.
Yeah, I think he's, like, having, like, Añejo whatever, like...
Añejo 1-200.
Yeah, like, Añejo 1805. And it's, like, so sent in. And, like, and maybe he has, like, a fridge where there's just, like, 100 bottles of Añejo 1805.
Right, its own, like, tequila...
Yeah,
and it's just like, fridge.
And when they have fun, and when just, like, their, like, 14 other, like, creepy design gay couples come over to their concrete mansion for drinks, six of the couples are doing G later, and, like,
yeah, oh yeah, and
I guess,
like,
my question
I'm
is, like,
going to bed.
Yeah, they're going to bed. Like, I don't think Ricky and his husband are doing G, but, like, obviously their design gay friends are they doing G at the concrete house, or are they leaving the house before they go to their?
Are they doing it on his private island?
Maybe they just fully are. And maybe they're just, like, doing
They
coke.
Must be having, like, coke and just massive, like, orgies in the massive island.
In the island.
And, like, the nanny is with the kids in, like, a whole nother house. When they do this, like, once a year, they just, like, it's a fuck fest.
I think it's, yeah, once a year fuck fest. But then, like, every few weeks, like, six couples are coming over for some Añejo.
Casual fuck fest.
Casual fuck fest in Añejo.
And then he's, like, in Australia filming The Voice for 6 months.
Yeah. And
is the Syrian painter, he's having a fuck fest, and then Ricky's a little bit pissed.
Yeah, but not that pissed. Because he's getting his when he's shooting The Voice on, like, a soundstage in Sydney.
He's getting his dick sucked in Sydney.
Sure he is.
Sure he is.
It's not that hard. He's going over to Obelisk Beach.
Okay, who are you in the book?
Well, we didn't really say what he eats, but I
oh, wait, what does he eat? Okay, so we did kind of what he drinks. I mean, it's, again, celeb, like...
Celeb, just, like, there's a huge... He wakes up, and there's, like, so many guavas that have already been halved, like, waiting for him to take one bite of.
And then some almonds, and then, like, power bowl.
It's and... just a sigh up the wazoo.
Yeah, no, thank you for saying that. Like, okay, nonstop a sigh.
Do you think the Syrian Swedish painter is a vegetarian?
No, I think he is having, like, lamb, the painter. He's like, Ricky, sit down. I don't know what this accent is. He's like, Ricky. It's my Swedish accent.
Ricky. Syrian Swedish is raspy.
Yeah. Ricky, sit down. Hey, I made my lamb.
Making my famous lamb for you. Get over here. Okay, nailed it. Who are you in the book?
I'm the star of the play who lost his voice the night before.
Yeah.
And you're Santiago.
I'm Santiago, just like being this. I guess I just feel like I actually don't do the work so that I wouldn't be like understudying so hard. That is, I feel like that's not me.
Maybe no. Okay, see,
I don't think I would like elect to just learn someone else's lines for the
Yeah, that was off of me. Sorry. You're more, I think, the star of the play who loses his voice.
Well, then
you're so strep.
Who are you? Are you the like little kid in the back who's like wearing the tree costume?
Yeah, I'm just like got a random part.
A non-singing role.
I guess I'm the baseball player in the dream. I'm Santiago dreaming to be a baseball player.
But you, I guess you did play a little bit of baseball.
I played a lot of baseball. How dare you? I was on Little League for years.
Are you the fossil in the paleontologist dream because you're so old?
Okay, how dare you? How freaking dare you call me old? I'm 2 months away from my birthday. It's a far away.
Really far. Hey.
Wicked far. We got months and months.
We got months to go. And I'm sure you will make it to 35. That number.
I'm shaking right now. I think that I have to go.
Truly horrifying.
Good thing the pod's over.
Yeah. So I want to say that I'm going to go ahead and give this book 1 out of 5 annual orgies at my concrete mansion.
If I had an awesome tiny human to read books to, I just don't think I'd be grabbing for one first.
This would be one of the last books I would grab. The illustration's also boring. Like, the whole, it's boring.
The next children's book, my family, every year we read a children's Christmas book by Carly Simon called Boy of the Bells. So look forward to that, Club Kids.
Oh, that's great. You can take that week off because it sounds like you've already read it.
Be a good Christmas. I got other work to do at Christmas, if you know what I'm saying? I got things to deliver.
Oh, Miss Claus is busy.
Mix Claus.
Mix Claus got a lot of chimneys to stuff herself into.
But yeah, that's another random children's book that's way more detailed. Written by a singer. So yeah, I also give this 1 school play out of 5 theater kids.
Try harder next time, Ricky.
Ricky, yeah. Come on.
Ricky. Put a little muscle into it. Put some of that famous rump into it next time.
He's too relaxed on that private island.
Yeah, no. There's too much prehaved guava for him.
Okay.
Well, another incredible episode in the can.
Another incredible episode recording with you and reading and laughing and loving.
It gives me life. And thank you to all the club kids for all the work that you guys do in supporting the show and listening to the show. And listen, I know that listening is also
work. That's
work
too.
And we will acknowledge and honor and elevate your labor.
We honor you.
Thank you. And do honestly, and I'm just going to say this, I do feel like the reviews have sort of dropped off. And if they could sort of pick back up again, I think we'd all feel a little bit better.
Same.
Don't Ricky Martin the reviews. You know what I mean? Don't phone it in. Like, let's get some bangers up there.
The next book, honestly, we don't even know.
Yeah, we literally don't know.
How's that for honesty?
Put that in your little pipe and don't smoke it.
Life is crazy.
It's a fucking roller coaster. So watch what happens.
Live.
Best.
Celebrity Book Club es presentado por Prolab Projects y Edcom. El espectáculo está producido por Meg Marnain con el apoyo editorial de Leon Nefak, Andrew Parsons y Madeleine Kaplan. Nuestro director de producción es Parsia Valin, ingeniería de Fares Monchi. Tema original de Stephen Phillips Ost. Ilustraciones de Terry Blanks on Chips and Why. Síganos on Twitter at CBC The Pod. Suscríbete a tu aplicación de podcast favorita. Déjanos una reseña y no olvides contarles a tus amigos sobre nosotros.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.